Welcome to Take the Lead. The content you're about to hear is from one of our Boca Lead events. Boca Lead is a monthly business luncheon hosted at Boca Raton Community Church and taught by Pastor Bill Mitchell. Our desire is that the information you're about to hear will increase your leadership and also raise the bar of ethics and integrity within the business community. So take the handout, grab a pen, get ready to take some notes, and enjoy the video.
Good afternoon and welcome and Happy New Year. We are glad you're here for the first Boca Lead of 2018. And we're really excited about what's happening in Fort Lauderdale and Lauderdale Lead and then in Miami starting in February. And so keep your eyes on that. And if you have people down in Fort Lauderdale or down in, we're starting in Coral Gables. Dade County's way too big to do this in one place. So we're starting in Coral Gables there. So if you have people that work in that business district, it's going to start February 22nd. Let me ask, who's here for the first time today? Well, we welcome you. Let's give them. We have a belief here, and it's really been substantiated today because we have the best weather in the country. And that's not why I say this, but I believe South Florida is the best place to live, work, play, worship, and raise your children in the entire world. It is my favorite place to be, and I think, and don't tell my friends in Fort Lauderdale, but I think Boca Raton is the greatest place in the world. And that's what, and you and I have an opportunity to make it better. We can make this place a better place. It has its faults, it has its deficiencies, it has its issues, but we in the business community need to raise the bar of what we're doing in terms of character, integrity, ethics, how we influence people, because you're the ones not just running businesses, but you're running the sports leagues, you're running the civic clubs, you're running the entire parts of the government, the volunteer organizations, the churches, synagogues, mosques, etc. You're the ones running them. We can make this a better place than we found it. I truly believe that. And that's what Boca Lead is about, just making this a better place to work, to live, to worship, and to raise our families. And some of you have grandchildren, to raise your grandchildren here. And I think we can do it, can't we? Yeah. So what we do at Boca Lead, for those of you who are new, it's pretty simple. We share some leadership principles in four ways. We usually take one of those ways, and I'll say it today. It's take that red sheet out if you want. This is not in the notes. This is kind of a repeat. But we look at leadership of ourselves, leadership of one another. That's like a coaching relationship, leadership of a team, or leadership of a whole organization or a division. Today, we're looking at leadership of ourselves. Every week, I do one, a different one. I've done teams. We do different things. But today is about leading ourselves. It's the beginning of the year. I kind of want to talk about us and look at how we can be better people, better leaders, better individuals as we lead. I'm the type that believes you got to look in a mirror as you lead. You can't just tell other people what to do. You've got to be willing, as we say in the church world, practice what you preach, walk the talk. And so today we're going to do that. But let me start out with a question here. And we did this last year, and I do this with my children. I do it with friends. And that is this. What is your word for the year? Have you ever just thought, what am I going to do this year and bring it down to a word? So many times we go, we have our plans, we have all our diagrams, this is what we want to do, the hills we want to climb. But do you have a word that defines what you want to be so that 11 and a half months from now, if I were to ask you, how did you do this year? You could describe it. Do you have that word? If you've never thought about it, it's not really a part of my talk. This is just something that I do with everybody. It was interesting. My daughter, who's 17, had her friends over the other night, and she had been talking about her word. And they were talking about their word. My daughter's word is, if I can share it, she's in the room. I won't tell her. Don't tell her I told you. Compassion. Her word is compassion. Another's was gratitude. Another's was hope. Another's was stretch. Another's was raise. Another's was expand. We're talking about 17-year-olds here. this is a fantastic thing when you start talking to people about how they can grow, but we need to be doing it too. You might be halfway through your career. What is your goal this year? What is this, your word? Just think about that, and as you just write it down, and here's the thing. Put it wherever you always look. So if it's at your computer screen or your refrigerator or your journal or wherever or in your car as you drop the visor, put it there so you remember it and think about it. Now today what we're going to look at is motivations, kind of what motivates us. And I've shared a little of this throughout the years, so some of you are going to remember some of the things I have shared, and I want to do it today. And let's put up the grid here. I'm going to do it in a grid of four. You see so many things that you work on. There's always quadrants. So I'm going to use a quadrant today. It's very simple. You have it there in your diagram. And there's two axes in this quadrant. And again, it's for your own personal use. And I'm thinking in business. Those of you who are here know I'm talking business, although the application of what I talk about is in family, leading nonprofits, leading your youth soccer leagues, whatever it may be, it can apply everywhere, but we're talking business. One is passion. So you start down at the bottom, you kind of have zero passion. As you work up the scale, you have more passion. That's passion for your work. We're talking work today, your business. What is your passion level? And the other is, and I just, to keep it to rhyme, and I usually don't rhyme things, but to keep it simple, is progress, your growth, your movement in your work. And again, if you're down here at the apex here, you have none. You have no passion. You have no growth. You have no motivation at all. So hopefully you're not down here. You're somewhere up in it. And we're going to look at these four. We're going to start at the bottom and work our way, and I'll show you how we do it. So let's start with the first one. I've done several talks on this. This is when you have very low or no passion and low or no progress. It's called drift. Drifting. There are people who drift at work. Now, you can work and do somewhat of a meaningful task and still be drifting, but you are incredibly distracted. You really have no passion, no progress. When I say, what are your goals this year? You're going, I just want to get a paycheck next Friday. I just want to kind of make it through, you know. I want to have a positive attitude about it, but you really have no motivation. You're not passionate about your work. You're not moving forward. And guess what? Next year, you'll be in the same place you are this year. How many of us have had school teachers? I love school teaching. I have a daughter who's a school teacher. I have my sister's a school teacher. I love school teachers. But there's this sense of repetitiveness in schools, isn't it? It's almost like that fifth grade teacher could be the same after 20 years. He or she might be the same. And then you see others who, after 2 years, they've just gone to another level. Because in schools, it's just this, well, I just repeat. I just go back to the beginning. I go back to the beginning. Well, in work, we can do that exact same. I go to work and do what I got to do, and at 5:30, I'm done, and I head home. And then next Friday, I'll get a paycheck. And that's called drifting. Let me give you a couple of, go to the next slide. How do we begin to drift? There are four things that really hit you when you drift. One is you're unaware of it. There are people that are totally unaware of their situation. They have no self-awareness. They're just clueless. And they work for you, don't they? They may be sitting next to you. Or maybe they are sitting next to the person who's unaware. So there's just people who are unaware. I would say if you want to develop yourself, you need to become aware. We'll get to that in a few moments. The second is distractions. We are so distracted at times. And there are good distractions. There are times and periods in our life when health, when the illness of a child distracts you. I totally get that. I really get that. But there are people that are constantly distracted in their life. That is a drifter. A drifter is constantly distracted. It's okay to be distracted from time to time, but if you are constantly distracted, you are just drifting and doing nobody any good. Third is overwhelmed. The question you need to ask, if you're not passionate about what you do or progressing in what you do, are you in the wrong business? I gave this talk to our staff last year, and one of them said, I'm so overwhelmed. I'm in the wrong job. I mean, I'm not here to tell you to stop working what you're doing, but we're all adults. If you are so overwhelmed at what you're doing and have no passion and no joy in it, maybe you need to move into another area of the business or into another business altogether. The fourth is this, deceived. Now, this is not a psychology class, and I have great psychologists in this room that I met today, but there is nothing worse than self-deception. You see, I think I can deceive you, and I probably can, but I can deceive myself easier than anyone else in this room. We learn how to deceive ourselves. And that's, you can be drifting and not know you're drifting because you've deceived yourself into thinking that the things you do are meaningful. And some of the things you're doing may not be meaningful. They may be a total waste of time and energy and even your boss's money. Who knows? And so these are the things that cause you to drift. Now, that's the negative side. I want to go to the positive, to the three. So let's go to the next one. As we go up the passion scale, I'm using words that rhyme, lift. These are the people that have passion without progress. Have you ever met them? Cheerleaders, and I don't mean high school cheerleaders, but cheerleaders that they have no focus, but they're all excitement. Have you ever met those people? Enthusiasm, and I love enthusiasm, so I'm not against enthusiasm, but enthusiasm alone does not run a business. But it runs passion. Quick example, I used to manage properties. My past life, I was a commercial realtor. I managed properties. I managed a deli. I didn't manage the deli. I managed the property where the deli was in. And I never knew the backside of delis, how they run. This deli was run very poorly. And I was doing some coaching with a guy one day, and we're in this incredibly very serious conversation. Nobody was in the deli. Now, that tells you something right then. 11 o'clock in the morning, no one's in the deli but me and him, and we're talking, the serious conversation, and all of a sudden, the toaster oven dings. He stops. His personal bagel was ready to be eaten. Now, he goes, Bill, I got to stop. I said, you can't stop. We're in the middle of this. Your bagel can wait. He goes, no, it can't. And I learned something that to this day, I'm glad I learned. I'm no longer managing that deli, which I'm glad about. But there is only, for those of you that didn't grow up with bagels, I grew up with English muffins. You don't know that there is a period of time from once it's toasted to when the butter or schmear can be put on it. You didn't know that, but it's true. I've learned it and I know it. When my toaster dings now, I stop everything. But I'm at home, not at work. So he runs over there and applies all this stuff, and then he says, take a bite. Gives me half of it, and it was incredible. He had the enthusiasm for his bagels, but had no work ethic, had no understanding how to run the business, and was running that puppy into the ground. He had enthusiasm, but he needed work ethic, he needed other things as well. Enthusiasm does not by itself run a business. It's good to have, it's wonderful to have, and I was the beneficiary long term about that because now I know how to cook a bagel, you know, and toast it and eat it, and I love them, especially those everything and onion bagels. It's fabulous. But enthusiasm is not the answer. Now let's go down to this one here. Shift. This is when you progress without passion. You're a hard worker. Now, how many of us have hard workers and they are just you just don't want to be around them? You go, I can't let them go because they're hard workers. They're doing their job, but they're not doing it with any passion. They are people who are in kind of the shift mode, and I don't mean that in shifting a car, I mean it kind of in the day shift versus night shift, the second shift versus the third shift. They just do their shift, they do it well, and you're gonna keep them because of that, but they are not gonna take your business to the next level, and you may be that way. I grew up with a very strong work ethic in our family, and this is the truth. My father said, I worked for my father for 16 years, my first sixth job out of college. About third day in, he said, we're going to go to half days. Now, as a 21-year-old, I'm pretty excited about half days. He said, 12 hours. 12 hours. 16 years, 6 days a week, I worked 12 hours a day. If it was daylight, we worked. I know the work ethic. I get the work ethic, and I love the work ethic. I'm very into it. In fact, we even as Protestants call it the Protestant work ethic. We love work. But can I tell you, that is not the only answer. You know, I love to travel, and we go all over the world training leadership to nonprofit organizations in 40 countries. And I was in Saigon, Vietnam, several years ago. We don't train there now, but I was there working with some people. And if you've ever been to Vietnam, Saigon, which is now called Ho Chi Minh City, it has the most motorcycles per capita of any city in the world. It is the most amazing thing. Some cities run by buses, some by cars, some by trains, some by walking. This city runs by motorcycles. So if you want to take a taxi, the three of you, you get on the backs of three motorcycles and go. It's an amazing thing. But the problem is you got to cross streets because they don't have traffic lights. They have a couple in the main sector. But how do you cross a street where there are literally thousands going both ways? And I asked my friend, who was an American, but he was Vietnamese, and he was our translator and all. He goes, you just walk across the street. I said, you can't walk across the street. It's thousands. And I exaggerate at times. This is not an exaggeration. They never stop. He goes, look at that lady. There was an old lady down, kind of a senior lady, pushing a cart. He goes, watch her across the street. And so I watched her. All she did was push her cart like this, never looked up, pushed her cart across three lanes going this way, a little median, three lanes going that way, and there's probably four motorcycles per lane. So you just count the motorcycles all going 35 miles an hour, and she is walking across, and she didn't get hit. She didn't get hit. He goes, why do you think she didn't get hit? I go, I don't have a clue. They don't hit old ladies? He goes, no. He goes, because she just picked a cadence and walked it, and they could predict and go around her. He said, if you move your cadence like this, then they're going to hit you because they don't know what you're going to do. They need to know what you're going to do, and they will respond. So I said, okay, let's get across. So I waited for the next old lady. Now, this is the truth. And I said to her, she didn't speak English, I didn't speak Vietnamese, I said, can I push your cart for you? So we together pushed the cart across, and I didn't get hit. He said, the other thing you got to do is just keep your head down. And I know people say keep your head down and work, but that's really not a good thing long term. You got to lift your eyes up and see the horizon, see people, have some passion for what you do. Or you can just walk across the road with nothing. Yes, you do it in a cadence, in a particular way, but with no passion, you will get to the other side of the road. But that is not what work is about. That is not what business is about, just getting to the other side of the road. There is more to this, isn't there? You need to bring together a strong work ethic, a desire to progress, with passion. So let's talk about that at the end. So it's this one here. Gift. Just to match it. I use the word gift a lot. Some people use it. It's passion and progress coming together. And some of you might use the word sweet spot. It is the place of your sweet spot. A sweet spot is when your talents, your abilities, and your gifts align and match with your passion. When all those come together and align with your passion, then you have the opportunity to succeed and do well. I shared a story a few weeks ago at our church, and I'm just going to share it real quickly. Back in 1815, that's 203 years ago, there was a lady whose husband was involved in a duel in Ireland, and he got shot and died. So I won't give you all the details, but I know the details. He got shot and died in a duel. So this lady was left poor with a small child, and she decided to commit suicide with her child. And so she walked out of Dublin up onto a bridge. They were stone bridges back then with not a railing but a stone rail. And she just kind of leaned over with her baby down into the ravine, and she was going to jump off and kill herself. 1815, this is a true story. And as she was looking down the ravine, there was a farm off to her left, and she saw a young man farming, whistling and singing as he was farming. Now, back then, it was a horse or a mule with those things, and, you know, I can't even describe it. I'm a city boy. But they're pushing it hard, hard work. He had hard work, and she's watching him do these rows and coming back, and he's singing. He has such passion with this hard work ethic. And she's watching this as her baby's sleeping, and as she's about to jump off with her baby into the ravine to kill herself into the brook that was long below her because there was two ravines coming together. The guy never saw her. She kept watching him, and she said, if a guy can farm with such passion and hard work, there must be something more to this life. And she walked off. She walked off to the and went back to the city. She got involved with the community, got her life straightened out, and she was a woman of prayer. And I know we don't talk about prayer at business time, but I just got to tell you, she made a commitment to pray for her family to six generations. Six generations. She said, I'm going to pray for my grandchildren, their grandchildren, kind of six generations out. And it's interesting, I know her sixth generation great-great-great-great-grandson. He's a friend of Elizabeth and mine. He tells that story, and he says these words. He doesn't just thank his great-great-great-great-grandmother for her prayers. He thanks the man who had the passion and the desire to do the work that saved his great-great-great-great-grandmother's life. Do you see that? I mean, today, 203 years later, there's a man and his family living because of the passion and the progress of a man farming in Dublin, Ireland in 1815. Do you see what happens? No benefit to him economically, but such a benefit to people. You see, you can have an incredible effect on people in your small group of work, but also in the greater, as you work in the nonprofit world, as you work with children, as you work with whatever you do, it's an incredible opportunity to do it, but you got to do it with such passion and progress. Let me give you a couple thoughts here. Where are you heading? Well, first of all, let's go back to the grid. Go back to the grid for a minute. Where are you on this grid? Just kind of think about it. And if you don't want to mark it on your thing, mark it mentally and put it so nobody else sees it. But where are you? Are you over here? Are you down here? Are you over here? I don't think anybody's way over here. But where are you? Are you in your sweet spot? I would say this is the year to move into your sweet spot. To move in, to find out, if you go, I don't even know what I'm talented at. I don't know what I'm gifted at. If you're over 25 years old, shame on you. Now, for the younger ones, we have high schoolers in here and college students. Yeah, they're still progressing, learning their giftedness. But those of us my age, you should know what you're gifted at and go to it and work at it and do it. So let me give you three things. Where are you heading this year? Number one, first of all, in order to do this, become aware of your current direction and your current location. Where are you heading, if anywhere? Are you drifting? This is a little self-awareness. How do you do that? You talk to people. You look at your own lives. You take some of those tests. You work together and do that. Number two, you decide where you want to go. There is a decision that needs to be made. You can continue to drift. You can drift, and you can make a good living drifting. You can catch a few fish drifting. But maybe you should go out to the seaweed line. Maybe you should go out and find out with your depth finders where the fish are. But you can drift and catch a fish or two. Drifting is an option. So decide where you want to go. And I would suggest maxing or mixing, matching your passions with your talents, and go find it and do it. This is the year to do it. And you go, well, I tell you what, I loved what I was doing all my life, but I made a midlife shift because I wanted to help people more. I was helping people in real estate, but I thought, you know what? I do a good job of real estate, but maybe I could do some other things. And so I made a midlife shift, and that's why I'm doing what I'm doing here. Number three, start working toward your destination. It's not enough to talk about it. It's not enough to pick a word. It's not enough to talk to your coworkers about it. But start working towards that destination. That's why the word you pick should be a verb, a movement word, so that you're moving towards something that you think you're called to do, you have the talent to do, you have the giftings to do. If you don't know your talents and giftings, then start right there. Go, you know what? Over the next 6 months, I'm going to figure out what I really need to be doing and then go do it. So, but most of you know what you're good at. Now, let me give an example of all this. I've brought a soccer ball here. I love soccer. I played soccer. I was a goalie in high school. I love soccer. I love American football, but my parents wouldn't let me play tackle football. Wonder why. And so I played soccer and basketball. Love soccer. One thing you learn when you go around the world, if you want to attract a crowd anywhere in the world outside the United States, bring one of these. Am I not telling the truth? Here's a group that works all over the Caribbean. You bring one of these anywhere in the world, and you set it down, and just go like this to a kid, just or an adult. You will attract a crowd. You'll attract kids. You'll attract adults, high schoolers. You don't need goalies. You don't need grass. You need nothing. You don't need tennis shoes. They play barefooted. They play in regular shoes. They play dressed up. They play in shorts. They'll take everything off. It's amazing. This, everywhere, right? Anywhere in the world, you lay it down. So I used to take four or five deflated soccer balls everywhere I went, and with just a little pump. And so if I'd be in a place, I'd go, you know, I'd just like to get a crowd around. I'd pump up a ball. I'd lay it down, and all of a sudden, I'd have 50 people there, 75 people. I would do it in Cuba with baseballs. I'd do it in some other places with basketballs. But there, you need other equipment. This, you need nothing. Americans need equipment. They need spikes and all the rest, but nowhere else do they need that. So you lay that ball down, you kick it, and you have a crowd together. I even did it with cricket once in India. Got a cricket ball and a bat, and all of a sudden, they all come. They come around this. But then I realized, as I got older, I couldn't play soccer with them anymore. You know, I was playing when I was 40. I could play with all of them. 45, I could play with all of them. I turned 50, I'm like, last thing I need is to pop my knee in some godforsaken place and then who knows what. So I would still throw the ball down and say have to it and enjoy and, you know, and start talking to the people. And then I wondered one day, I said, I made this kind of a metaphor. I said, what is my soccer ball? What is it that I can do that attracts people? This attracts people, but what is it that I do? That's why I've titled this talk, you see it at the top, what is your soccer ball? What is it that you do that's different from everybody else that when you do it, people are attracted to you, whether that's your coworkers, your clients, your competitors, your vendors, your stockholders, whoever it may be, when you do it well. I was talking to my good friend over here. He said, I could never stand up in front of people. I said, I could never draw buildings and do the architecture he does. And I was thanking him for something he had done here at church that I couldn't do. He assessed a building for us. I couldn't do that. That's his gift. That's his soccer ball. And you go, people come up to me and go, Bill, you're so good at this. No, this is my soccer ball. But what is your soccer ball? So here's what I want you to do. You have a big white envelope there that says, do not open until instructed. Someone take it and open it. Got it? Open it. Now, okay, I knew I would lose the room here. Okay, here's what we got to do. There are two tables that do not have them because we had so many come, we added two tables. So if there's an extra ball, Dave Baldwin over here, give him your bag and those two so they can each get a ball. So here is your soccer ball. It is a picture, a metaphor for you to say, what is my soccer ball? Because I believe every one of us has an opportunity to change this world. And the way you change the world is different than the way I change the world. And that young farmer who probably never left the outskirts of Dublin in his life changed the world. Because my buddy is the author of about 20 books and has sold millions of books that have changed people's lives because of a farmer from 200 years ago. That farmer's soccer ball was passion and enjoyment and a good job, and she was watching him make those lines straight. I don't know what your soccer ball is. I can't tell you. But it's the fourth day of this year. The sooner you find out what your soccer ball is, the better. And get it out in front of people and start using it. And you know what? You kick it and maybe you fall over and make a mistake. But don't keep your soccer ball deflated in your suitcase because it does absolutely no good at all. Now go out and do it. You know what else this is? I close with this. It's a stress ball, right? Hello. So if you stress out at what you're doing, just press it and get those muscles going and all our things. But I want you to make it a great year. I believe this year in Boca Raton in South Florida is going to be an incredible year, and I want each of you to have a great year. God bless you all.
We trust you enjoyed Pastor Bill's teaching. Our goal is that you take this content and apply it in your business and also your personal life. Visit BocaLead.com for all of our past material and register for our next business lunch. Have a great time in discussion and take the lead.